The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Storm hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
It is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 65. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. We were going to sort of do like a post-lockout recap, temperature check, all that kind of garbage. But the truth is, we have a huge amount of personnel news that I'm going to hand to you in a second, John, because the Yankees made some moves that a lot of people have scratching their heads, to be quite frankly. And I also want to point out to people, you have to share the podcast and let people know this next couple of weeks could be huge for us. We might have later this week, we don't want to divulge names because we're just confirming, we might have an absolute broadcasting legend on later this week. We might have a sports writing legend from the West Coast on next week. And we might have literally the Moonlight Graham of the Boston Red Sox on very soon. So yep. Incredible stories. But let's start with the personnel moves. Just summarize, you know, obviously up to this point, what the Yankees have done, and then we'll go through what we think of it.
Okay, so the Yankees traded for Josh Donaldson, and they traded Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela. Now, there's another player, Ben Rivette, in the deal. He's a left-handed catcher.
A unicorn.
Yeah. So, listen, now, the Yankees are getting a catcher, giving up a catcher.
Right.
Getting a third baseman, giving up their probably what was going to be their shortstop if they didn't sign Correa, right? And their stopgap, Anthony Volpe Peraza. I don't know. I'm scratching my head on this one because as a Yankee fan, I think across the board,
well,
we're all going to agree.
They got a shortstop, too, that his name is a hard one to say. You forgot about Kiner.
Oh, Kiner Falefa. Yeah, so yeah. he's gonna play shortstop, right? Yeah.
Right.
But I'm scratching my head not because of him. I'm scratching my head with the Donaldson and the fact that, I mean, you're getting rid of Sanchez, which I think all Yankee fans like, right?
It seemed like everybody wanted him gone anyway.
Exactly. But you're getting Josh Donaldson back at 36 for $50 million guaranteed you owe him. And it's actually more than that because if you have to buy him out or mutual agreements, it probably comes out to about $58 million. So you're on the hook for that. And I scratch my head because I'm thinking if you got to get rid of him or if you want to get rid of him or if you're going to try to flip him, ain't nobody flipping that. Josh Donaldson for $50 million at 2 years? I mean, he hasn't done anything really since 2016.
I mean, even if you dump him at the trade deadline, if you're not, you know, incredibly competitive, you're still going to have to swallow some of that salary.
Oh, a ton of it. You're going to have to swallow a ton of it. And when you're sitting there, you know, with a potential to possibly get a Freddie Freeman or a Carlos Correa, which I've been saying all along, I was never a fan of getting him. And I don't really think Yankee fans, I think they just want something to happen. I think deep down inside, they don't want Carlos Correa.
Well, the bottom line is, all these moves, I haven't spoken to a Yankee fan yet who thinks that they're good, but it does tell me, whether it's Rizzo or Freeman, that they have to make a splash at first base, because if you look at their roster, I'm sorry, they might be the fourth place team in the American League East, even if they sign Freddie Freeman.
So listen, they don't have, other than Aaron Hicks, right, and they got Gallo, so I mean, Hicks is a switch hitter, Gallo's your other left-handed hitter. This catcher that is now going to be their starting platoon catcher with Hishigawa is a lefty. So you're not going to get him all the time. So there's your left-handed bat. So you're going to have to get a left-handed hitter, right?
And that
would be a first baseman, either trade for Matt Olson or sign Freddie Freeman. Now, if you sign Freddie Freeman, you already pissed away $50 million on Donaldson, right? That's the way I look at it.
Right.
That's $50 million you could have spent on Freddie Freeman.
Which would be way better.
Which
investment.
Is probably, you could probably got 2 years over the long duration of a contract. You could probably have got 2 years of Freddie Freeman for $50 million
right.
In part of a bigger deal, right? If you spread it out over 6 years.
And if you get Freeman, by the way, if you did Freeman, which they're probably the third team on the list to get him outside of Atlanta and the Dodgers. But if you go Freeman with Gallo and Judge and Stanton, now you're talking about a lineup that can really scare people.
Right. Or if you trade for Matt Olson, but what are you going to do now? Because if you have DJ, right, you're going to trade DJ to Oakland and get Matt Olson? I mean, what are you going to do with DJ?
So what do you think? So basically, taking on $50 million on a 36-year-old is a bad idea. But you do.
Well, that's what's got me scratching my head, right? Right. Like normally you'd say, like, let's flip him, or like you just said, trade him at the deadline. But you are hooked, hooked with this guy. I'm telling you right now.
Right.
You're hooked for 2 years with this clown. And the most thing he's been popular for is saying it's not sticky anymore to Giolito as he came across and bitching at Cole.
Right. So what's it going to be like? And I don't know. People who don't know baseball, I mean, there are two schools of thought. One is that bad blood can succeed in a clubhouse because pitchers stay with the pitchers and the position players stay with the position players. But having said that, I think you don't want bad blood, even if they can stand
across the room from each other. But we're also talking about a major, I'm going to say, sticky subject, right? To put the pun at it, right? That was huge news. Yeah. Like there was so much focus on that last year. And look, after that happened, all the no-hitters disappeared. So obviously there was a direct connection.
But don't you think that Brian Cashman would have at least addressed it before making the deal?
Good question. I was listening to sports radio this morning too, and people were talking about that same thing. And it's, I mean,
he's not dumb.
No, Cashman's but you'll say
stupid.
They will, right? You say in the back channels and in the shadows, oh, of course they're going to, you know, run it past Cole. I mean, what are you going to do? Call Garrett Cole and be like, I just don't feel like this trade was in the works, man. I just don't get it.
The only way
that you got rid of Gio and Gary Sanchez, who are under 30.
By the way, Sanchez was, I mean, and everyone's, he was a throw-in, though.
He was a throw-in.
He wasn't for the deal.
You basically gave him Gio.
Yeah. And you said, we'll give you Gio. And we'll take your $50 million if you take Sanchez off our hands. You know what I mean? That's basically what it is. But to me, when I look at it, the only way this makes sense is if they make a good deal for a first baseman. But I think you're right. I think the $50 million makes you think it won't be Freeman.
No. And I feel bad for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa because he's a good player.
He got traded twice in a week.
I know, but I feel bad for him because no one's talking about him. The Yankee fans aren't going to be talking about him.
Guess what? That's good. I have to tell you, that's a good thing. The lower the expectations, the less they talk about you, the better. Let them focus on everybody else. And this kid seems like a good kid.
I mean, they said Gary Sanchez is going to go to Minnesota, right, and be a DH and platoon catcher. They just traded their catcher, Mitch Garver, and Gary's not going to start for them. What does that tell you?
It tells me that Minnesota thinks they're a playoff team.
It tells me the Yankees should have got rid of Gary earlier when he had some trade value.
Of course. But, I mean, But there's a long history of guys that are overinflated because they wear the pinstripes. It's true with Boston, too. We overinflate guys.
I mean, this is a head scratcher like Hunter Renfro for Jackie Bradley.
Yeah. That one
but
is.
But without the $50 million. I mean, at least Hunter Renfro is a good deal.
I have to tell you. Well, first of all, can we transition to that deal for a second, or do you have more you want to say?
No, it's just I'm just jammed up about it.
Listen,
this.
I would say it's a deal that people are not happy with, and they have to do something at first base or something else to make it work.
Brian, is they're going to wind up trading like DJ or something because he kind of flops in and out of this.
Would you be okay with Rizzo?
I'd be fine with Rizzo coming back, but at the same time, like Rizzo's older, man. I mean, your play is Olsen or Freeman, right? But Olsen's going to command a huge tag. I mean, with DJ's a contract friendly, whatever you want to say, that's a friendly contract for DJ. And the A's would take that, right? You're going to have to pay $35 minimum a year for Freddie.
Really? Yeah.
Minimum. And he's going to want 6 or 7 years.
Even though that's too much.
Too much. I don't know. Don't get me started with the too much. I think they all make too much. But
well, we'll get into that in a minute because the lockout, I have to tell you, I'm not as excited for baseball, and I want to talk about that a little bit, even though they've signed. I'm not one of those that say, let bygones be bygones.
They're trying to smokescreen it as quick as they can, you know?
Right. That's true. But I want to talk quickly about Jackie Bradley Jr. Full disclosure, he came to visit my kid's school five, six years ago. And
he's a good dude.
And ever since then, my kids have loved him. And my wife has always loved him as a player.
We've talked about this before. It says a lot for a team, though. Like, he's a team guy. And he's a good guy for the Red Sox.
And I've even DM'd him on Twitter, and he's responded, which rarely happens. I do it a fair amount, and it rarely happens. He's just a genuinely good human being.
Right, you root for guys like him.
Yes, but he's also a guy
that bats .220,
who can't hit his weight hardly, and he is projected to start in center field. It'll probably be center. Say you have Kike and Alex Verdugo. And Renfro had a career year and had, you know, I don't think Bradley will make as many assists as Renfro. He'll make better catches,
yes,
right? But he won't throw people out, even though even though Jackie Bradley Jr. has a great arm, he doesn't have Renfro arm and accuracy. But what I would say is that why would you make that deal is a great question. And I was like, listen, for sentimental value, I was like, it's not worth it necessarily. But clearly, he's a guy. Renfro is a baseball player's player. Like, if you love baseball, you really enjoyed Renfro.
Right. He looks like a dude that plays baseball.
And he's a baseball player's. Like, you watch him for different reasons. But if you love the Red Sox or you're a tourist, JBJ is a bigger draw.
Yeah.
So the drop-off isn't so much. And I can't imagine, though, because historically he bats 180 until June 1st, and then he'll bat like 280 or 300 the rest of the way and end up around 250, whatever.
If he's lucky, yeah.
If you get that, is it good enough? I don't know how to interpret it. To me, it means that they're going to get another outfielder and platoon him, but he's not the kind of guy in Milwaukee.
What about Jaron Duran? We talked about him. You say he's too old.
Duran?
Yeah.
He's not too old.
Well, I mean, why about him?
Well, I think he was pretty clear that he wasn't ready to play.
All right. Well, maybe that's what you say.
So, I mean, he wasn't.
JBJ is only 31. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's only 31, but he's been in the league a while.
I cheer for him, though. You know, it's funny. It was probably a bad trade baseball-wise, but I like him. So, I mean, I have to take off my stat hat and just say, you know what? He's a dude I like, and there are fewer and fewer dudes I like. Yeah. I like John Senecal. Terrible segue. And I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I want to get to it now because, you know, I've been waiting to talk to you post-lockout. I have season tickets, and I said it. And I am fond of Sam Kennedy, and I know a lot of people that work on the Red Sox. I was like, I can get tickets anytime I want. Why would I have season tickets? Why would I do this? Just go when I want to go. You can actually save some money.
So how many tickets do you have for the year?
Have a weekend plan.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many. We split it with four or five other people. So it ends up five or six games guaranteed a year. The reason why we do it is that it guarantees us. We don't get our seats for the playoffs, but it guarantees us playoff seats, and it's guaranteed opening day. And opening day is our favorite day of the year because we sit with the same
people. So you got
more
than just... You got a lot of factors in play.
Yes.
But you also have a family, and you got, like, things have to be worked and manipulated, so you have a plan.
Yes. I am so unhappy, though, because outside of raising the league minimum, I don't think there was a single issue that mattered to me or the general public, and I could care less. And it really did seem like millionaires and billionaires fighting over cans to deposit for 5 cents.
Yeah.
And even though it's not true, there's still millions involved. It just seemed really stupid to stop the game. They're going to have this condensed schedule, and there's going to be injuries, and the quality of play is going to be poor. And they didn't even address the crap that matters to me.
Yeah, and you didn't even bring up the soft deadlines. I mean, I've never heard more deadlines than, like, you know, a parent that can't control their kid.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Oh, we're leaving in five minutes.
Right, right.
Five more minutes.
You're so right. And they still are having a full season.
You know, meanwhile, Manfred's down in his bunker right now, juicing the balls.
Here's the
deal.
Cranking
them up, tightening them up.
He's done, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely, they're going to squeeze him out. But what are they going to do to get the game back? You called it perfectly. You're debating that you want to not buy and do what you're saying. So what does that tell you? Like, I know the corporation people aren't going to show up in their seats. I see it every night at Yankee games when I watch them on TV, right?
Bowl is
the
empty.
People that they should be caring about is you. You know, like they said, the little people.
Yeah.
You know?
And when was the last time they reduced prices on any? I mean, even the movie theaters, the stinking movie theaters, they're like, we're going to reduce prices. We need...
Or we're going to close.
Yeah. And the thing is that until fans don't go en masse, nothing's going to change. Like, when I really finally stepped back and thought about it, that I go there, I pay $35 to park.
Yep.
I pay $12 a beer, which I do all of it. I buy the $8-$9 sausage, and I'll have four or five beers. I'll have a couple things to eat. I'll buy the peanuts and all that crap. And I'm like, at the end of the day, my wife and I on opening day, we'll spend $500.
Yeah, and you'll see three innings of the game.
And I just don't. I don't. And I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I go to the Yard Goats. I spend $75, and it's just as fun.
Right, and you got your hot dog. You didn't miss one pitch. You know, you could send your kid to get your food.
Yeah. Seriously. And you know, it's five or 10 bucks to park, and I'm home in 12 minutes. And listen, I'm still going to go. I've given the equivalent of a college education to the right. Boston Red Sox. And I found myself really questioning it because I don't find that any of the stuff that mattered. And I don't even care. I kind of like the DH not being in the NL. I mean, everyone says it doesn't make sense for competitive reasons in the World Series, and I get that. I'm fine with that. But I honestly, it was like issue number six for me.
I know. There's so many different things we could talk about.
But you're one of those fans. But you're one of those guys that no matter what, you're going to go back.
I'm going to keep watching baseball because I love it. I don't think I'm going to be going to as many games. Listen, man, it's like you said, it's the whole experience is just too much to just keep waiting on. Like, it's just like, you know, on top of everything else you're dealing with, like, and I'm going to sound so petty here, you know, because
be
of all
petty. This is the place to be petty.
The place to be petty, you know, of all the other crap that's going on in the world, I'm going to bitch about paying too much to go to a baseball game while I'll have to pay too much for gas and my oil bill and all that stuff. So it's just added more crap to everything else. You know, so why do I want to waste $500 of my day to go down and watch a Yankee game when I could have just went to the Yard Goats game the night before and then watch it on TV with my kid,
having a beer in your hand
and watch the game.
Yeah, I the value proposition has not been there for a while. So this isn't news to people listening, but I guess what I'm saying to people listening and to you, John, is that if it matters to you, maybe you should not go. And maybe and the thing is, it's weird. People are like, this is a baseball podcast. I love baseball. I want to be there, but I don't understand how they can bully us, the fans, so badly. We're so stupid. I feel like we are so stupid.
And they do the same formula. Everything. Oh, it's for the fans are the ones that took it. The fans are the ones. The players will all say that. You'll never hear the owners say that. It's for the fans. But I don't know, dude. It's not for the fans.
None of it's for the fans. And the thing is that people say, we're increasing the beer prices to pay for the salaries. No, it's to ensure the profit margin, right? It doesn't, you know what I mean? If they need to increase their revenue because they're spending more money, they just pass it on to the consumer so their profit margin stays the same. I can't tell you how many people make basically that aren't players that work for these major league teams make about as much as the league minimum.
There's dozens
for every organization that make hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
Tons of money.
Salary. It's crazy.
And all the major league franchises have so many different layers of, I mean, even their marketing departments and their video departments and their scouting. I mean, it's insane. Like, people look at these contracts that they're doling out and they're like, oh, well, the payroll's $220 million, and you look at Steve Cohen talking, Steve, what do you think, you're gonna go over $220 million, and they talk about it like he's gonna just, you know, walk down the street and hand somebody a $20 bill,
right?
On top of, like you just said, on top of that $220 million is another $100 million of liability on top of that, with all the salaries, the insurance claims. And I mean, Josh Donaldson's gonna cost the Yankees an extra $30 million after he gets hurt three times,
right? So I mean, I hate to say this, but I've come to this sort of conclusion. Maybe I just got some guts. I'm gonna go to opening day.
You're gonna take one for the team.
I'm gonna go to opening day because my wife will not miss it. But after that,
well, listen. Maybe
I don't go. Maybe I sell the other four games.
Let's talk about opening day real quick, right? I sent you guys, Matt, our producer, and you a text about Yankee Red Sox opening day, which is now shockingly MLB opening day, Yankee Red Sox.
Of course.
Whoa, you know, we just magically pick April 7th. All right.
They need it.
So maybe we're going to move that 1 o'clock game to 7. Sorry, the field's a little wet, you know. Right. Anyways. What was it, $80-something just to walk in there? And the next day was $20 or something like that.
Okay, so that's what it's open. It's at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah.
So the ticket is $85
Well,
for
that was like 4 days ago. It's probably more than that now.
And then the next day it's by 75%.
Like yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, but come on.
Here's what we should do. Here's what I think pricing should be. It should all be dynamic pricing. It should all be supply and demand.
Exactly.
All of it should be.
Nobody's showing up. Drop it. I've been saying all along, when you see all those open spots, man, there's got to be some algorithm you could figure out where people could pay up from upper seats and get down to those seats.
Absolutely.
I mean, figure it out. If my coffee machine can turn on in 2 hours before I get up.
But it's one of those things where the scalpers, I never understood it. The scalpers, once they got smart, back in the day, you could go, the Montreal, my dad used to, you know, like, wait till the first inning.
Yeah.
And then the scalper needs to dump it. But then it got to the point where the scalpers got wise and they would rather eat the ticket than sell it at a cut rate. So That's what the teams are basically saying to you. We'd rather leave the seats empty than to cut prices.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to break it. Because here I am. I'm still being stupid. I'm like, I'm still going to go to opening day. But I don't want to go. I don't want to go, and I don't want you to go. I want people to stay home.
I'll watch it.
I want people to stay home. Because I don't know how else to send a message that we're not only – I mean, it's just insulting to me. This lockout was so stupid. And it's just insulting to me that now I got to go back to the trough and just start eating crap.
It was laughable. It really was.
It was so dumb.
And when we sat there like monkeys waiting, here comes the deadline, 5 o'clock. Oh, no, we're going to wait till tomorrow.
Oh, no, we're not going to have baseball.
Here comes the deadline, 11 o'clock.
And they messed with me. I will tell you, remember Dom Rivers we had on the show, the rotisserie guy? Well, he's turning 50, and I don't know if it's a surprise or if maybe I shouldn't
surprise.
Say
surprise.
Well, anyway, I think he does listen, though, so I don't know, but he was going...
Well, it's not like he doesn't know he's turning 50.
Well, he's going to Cincy with his brother, and I was going to fly out and meet him because it was going to be opening weekend in Cincy, and I've never been to the park.
Yep.
I've never really spent time in Cincinnati. So I wasn't going to go to opening day, but I was going to go like Friday, Saturday, and go to a Reds game. I was psyched, and it was worth... You know what? It was worth it for me to get on a plane. By the way, getting on a plane, getting a hotel room, and going to see two Reds games would be cheaper than taking my wife to Fenway.
Yeah, I'm thinking of flying to Milwaukee and going to a game and watching Cole Swindell in concert for free afterwards.
That would be awesome. Seriously. Well, we did the drive to Baltimore, so we already proved that. We drove to Baltimore, stayed at the Hilton, went to two games, and it was cheaper than going to a single game at Fenway. But, you know, what I want to say is that because they screwed up opening day, I'm not going to go now because opening day is not when opening day is. And so it's like here I am, and listen, I don't work that hard. Like, my life is good. I don't lay curbstone. I don't shovel dirt. Whatever. My life is good. But I have a job, and I work, and I have to support my family. I'm not a millionaire.
You still got money to spend. But how do you want to spend it?
Right. And the thing is, I wanted to do that, and now I can't because of those clowns.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even know if anybody, what did they get? And then the minor leaguers didn't get the help. I just think, and the game isn't better. The DH in the NL doesn't change anything. And they talk about a stupid pitch clock.
It gives Nelson Cruz 6 more years to play.
You know what? Fine. I love that guy. He's never played for the Sox, but I love that guy.
He will.
I hope
he'll be back.
He's the position player Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
I mean, I really...
Maybe he can come back and hit. Big sexy.
He has hit it out.
Yeah.
I mean, he has. But anyway, I just couldn't contain myself anymore because I love to go to baseball games, and I can tell you that I don't want to go.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, only time will tell. I mean, if Manfred's juicing the balls or whatever. But listen, let's not call this Yankees trade a blockbuster. If I have to read that one more time and call this a blockbuster, the only thing blockbuster about it is you're blowing $50 million.
Right, and the only big thing about it is the arm pad that Donaldson wears.
Exactly.
I mean, he's got a shield.
I can't wait until he does something stupid and the fans are all over him and he turns into Jack the Flipper. Remember Jack the Flipper? Jack McDowell?
He used to always give the bird?
No, he got booed off the mound. And he flipped off the fans, Jack McDowell.
Yeah, that's really smart. Back in the day.
Yeah.
That's right.
That worked out real well for him.
Jack the Flipper. I think we'll end on that. Listen, but stick around this week. We will make sure, again, we're trying to tie it in. Matt Saroy's actually who will be in on the podcast because he would be the reason why we get this
guest.
Don't
blow any more secrets, Brian. You already gave the guy's 50th birthday party away.
All right, that's right. So anyway, stick around. Share this with everybody, okay? It's good stuff. This is episode 65. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.